Okay, I want you to picture the world's largest supermarket. And when I say large, I mean infinite. Miles and miles of aisles.
Right.
This is the modern internet. You've got YouTube, Spotify, TikTok, Google, just infinite shelf space waiting to be filled.
It's the ultimate distribution network. But, and this is a huge but, there's a massive problem with infinite shelf space.
Right. The shelves are empty. Or at least your section of the shelf is empty. Because in this analogy, you are a baker. You make incredible bread, maybe the best bread in the world, but you can only bake one loaf a day.
And that right there is the content saturation bottleneck. The internet is demanding volume. It demands a loaf of bread every 5 minutes and every flavor on every single shelf. And businesses are just burning out trying to meet that demand manually.
Exactly. We've solved distribution. I mean, you can upload anything for free, but we've hit a wall on production. And that's what we are unpacking today. We have a stack of documents here about a tool called Auto Content API. And I have to say, looking at the specs, this feels different than the usual, AI writing tools we talk about.
It is different. And I want to be really clear about this distinction right off the bat. This isn't about helping you write a slightly wittier email subject line.
Right.
This isn't a chatbot. The source material describes this as an industrial engine for content.
Industrial engine, that sounds heavy.
It should. We are talking about moving content marketing from a manual craft like our artisanal maker to programmable infrastructure.
So we're building a factory.
We're building a supply chain.
Let's start with the pain point because I think everyone listening feels this. You create a piece of content, let's say a really good blog post. You spent days on it, you hit publish, and then, well, silence.
Because your audience is fragmented, they aren't just reading blogs. One person is listening to podcasts on their commute, another is scrolling TikTok at lunch, another is looking for a tutorial on YouTube. If your idea is only in text, you are basically invisible to 80% of the market.
But to hit all those channels, the logistics are just a nightmare.
Oh, think about what it actually takes. To turn that blog post into a podcast, you need audio engineers, you need recording equipment, hosts.
Yeah.
To turn it into a YouTube video, you need a camera crew, editors, lighting, scripts. To make it a TikTok, you need a social media manager who actually understands the trends.
We're talking about four separate teams.
And four separate budgets? The briefing had some pretty stark numbers on this. Outsourcing a single high-quality podcast episode.
What was it?
Anywhere from $100 to $15,000, depending on the production value.
And video's even worse.
Oh, easily. $3,000 to $10,000 for a professional corporate video. So what happens? Companies look at those price tags and they just say, forget it, we'll just stick to the blog.
They leave massive growth on the table because the entry fee is just too high.
Exactly.
This is where Auto Content API comes in.
Yeah.
There's a phrase in the documentation that I really want to drill down on. It talks about shifting from generation to transformation. That feels like a subtle difference, but the documents treat it like a revolution. Why?
It's the key aha moment of the whole platform. Think about it. Most businesses don't really need AI to invent new ideas for them.
They're not suffering from writer's block.
No, they have the ore,
The ore.
the raw material. It's sitting in their PDFs, their white papers, their technical documentation, their old blog posts. That is high-value intellectual property. But right now, that PDF is a coffin.
A coffin.
It gets emailed out, opened by maybe 40 people, and then it just dies.
It's like mining gold with a teaspoon. You have the gold, but you just can't get it out of the ground fast enough.
Precisely. To turn that white paper into a video or a podcast manually, you are extracting value by hand, copy pasting, rewriting, recording. It's all artisanal labor.
Right.
Auto Content API changes the physics of that whole process. It treats that white paper as fuel. You pour it into the engine, and the engine spins the turbines for every other channel simultaneously.
So it's not saying, write me a poem about dogs. It's saying, here is my expert analysis on cybersecurity. Turn this into a podcast, a video, and a Twitter thread.
Correct. And because it's an API, it's headless.
Okay, API first usually scares off the creative crowd.
Yeah.
That sounds like I need a developer just to write a tweet. Is this actually usable for like a marketing team?
That's a common misconception. API first or headless just means there is no chat window. There's no human sitting there waiting for the robot to type. It all happens in the background. You feed the API a URL, say a link to your new blog post, and it automatically spits out the podcast, the video, the social post, and a quiz.
And the cost difference. If a human video team is $3,000.
It shifts from linear costs to logarithmic costs. In the traditional model, if you want 10 times more content, you have to hire 10 times more people.
Right.
Here, you just buy more server credits.
I saw the price breakdown, a podcast episode. It was something like 10 to 200 credits.
Which works out to about 10 cents to 2 euros?
2 euros.
Yeah.
Versus thousands.
It completely breaks the economic model of content production. It makes volume essentially free.
Okay, but let's talk quality. Because cheap usually means bad. Especially with audio. We've all heard those robotic text-to-speech voices, turn left at the next intersection. Nobody wants to listen to a podcast hosted by a GPS.
Right, and this is where the tech has leaped forward. We have to talk about the Notebook LM effect.
Oh, I love Notebook LM.
Yeah.
Google's tool. You drop in a PDF and two AI hosts just banter about it. It went totally viral.
It did, and it proved that people actually want to listen to AI audio if it sounds natural, if there's banter, interruptions, ums, and ahs, but Notebook LM is a consumer toy.
A toy? That seems a little harsh.
For an enterprise, it is. It's manual. You have to drag and drop files. You have to hit play. You can't run a media empire if you have to manually fiddle with every single file. Auto Content API is positioning itself as the Notebook LM API alternative.
So it's the industrial version.
Imagine you are a news publisher. You publish 100 articles a day. You can't have a producer sit there and upload files to Notebook LM all day long.
No way.
With this API, you program it once. Every time an article hits your content management system, the API wakes up, it reads it, it creates a script with two distinct characters, a host and an expert, and it generates the audio.
And it creates that multi-speaker dynamic automatically.
Yes. It simulates a conversation. It makes the content bingeable in a way that a single person just reading a script never is.
Now, there is one specific use case in the notes that I circled about five times. The CEO paradox.
Oh, this is fascinating and a little controversial.
It addresses a really specific pain point. Customers want to hear from the CEO. They want that leadership voice, the authority. But the CEO is the one person who has absolutely zero time to sit in a recording booth.
It's a time math problem. If a CEO's time is worth thousands of dollars an hour, they can't spend an hour recording a 3-minute update. So usually, the company just remains faceless.
So how does the API solve this without cloning the CEO? Oh, wait. It does clone the CEO.
It does voice cloning.
Okay, hold on. I have to push back on this. If I'm a customer and I find out the CEO's heartfelt update about the market was generated by a script and a voice clone while he was on a golf course. Do I not feel cheated? Isn't that a huge reputation risk?
It's a massive risk if you hide it, but the source material suggests a shift in how we view content. Think of it like a press release or a ghost-written book. You know, the CEO didn't type every single word of the press release, but they approved the message. This is just the audio version of that.
So it's ghost talking.
Exactly. The CEO goes into a studio once, they record for 10 minutes, the system builds a high-fidelity model of their voice. Then the marketing team can generate daily market thoughts in the CEO's voice. The CEO approves the script, but they never have to open a microphone again.
That is terrifyingly pragmatic. But if we accept the premise, the scale is wild, especially when you look at the language support.
This is where the ROI goes vertical. The API supports 50 plus languages.
So I record or generate my podcast in English. And then
the API transcribes it, translates the script, and then resynthesizes the audio into Spanish, German, Japanese, and it preserves the voice model.
So your U.S. podcast becomes a global network overnight.
You've just multiplied your total addressable market by 10 for the cost of a few API credits.
All right, we've covered the ears. Let's move to the eyes. Video.
Yeah.
Because the briefing mentions that by 2025, video is going to be something like 82% of all internet traffic.
Which means if you aren't doing video, you basically don't exist. But again, video is heavy. It's expensive.
Specifically shorts, vertical video, TikTok, Reels, YouTube shorts. The algorithm there is just hungry. It wants 3, 4, 5 posts a day.
And who has the footage for that? But the API has a specific endpoint for this. Video create shorts.
Walk me through how that works, because I'm picturing a robot trying to hold a camera and it's not really working for me.
No, no cameras involved. This enables faceless channels. You send the API a script or even just a topic. It generates a 9x16 vertical video. It uses AI avatars that lip sync to the audio. It adds subtitles, which are crucial for social video. It pulls in stock footage or AI-generated background imagery.
And the cost arbitrage here is massive too, right?
Yeah.
A manual short might cost $50 to $300 to make properly. The API does it for what?
About 400 credits, roughly 4 euros.
That completely changes the strategy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If a video costs 4 euros, you don't have to worry about it being perfect.
That's the key. It allows for creative testing at scale. Right now, if you spend $500 on a video, you need it to work. You're terrified of it failing. But if it costs 4 euros, you can throw 100 concepts at the wall.
You can just iterate.
Exactly. If 90 of them fail, who cares? You spend a few hundred bucks. But if one goes viral, the ROI is huge. You just can't play that lottery when the ticket price is so high.
There's another video use case mentioned that I think is brilliant for, well, boring companies. And I say boring with love.
B2B companies.
Yes.
It's not boring if it makes money.
Fair point.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, technical documentation, SaaS help centers.
Right. Say you're a software company, you have 500 articles on how to use your platform, how to reset password, how to configure API key. Nobody wants to read those.
I definitely don't.
Yeah.
I usually skim it, get frustrated, and then email support.
Exactly. And that costs the company money. But the API can crawl that documentation site. It reads every single page and auto-generates a 60-second explainer video for that specific feature.
So when I land on the reset password page, there's a video just waiting for me.
Yes. And that does two things. One, it reduces support tickets. But two, it increases dwell time.
Dwell time. That's an SEO metric, right?
Huge ranking factor for Google. If a user clicks your link and leaves in 3 seconds, Google thinks your page is trash. If they watch a 60-second video, Google thinks your page is valuable. You rank higher.
So it's marketing, support, and SEO all wrapped in one.
Precisely.
Speaking of things being wrapped in one, we need to talk about the intelligence layer. Because all of this format shifting is great, but if the content itself is garbage, nobody is going to watch it.
That's the classic garbage in, garbage out problem.
The source material talks about deep research. How is this different from just asking ChatGPT a question?
Well, standard chatbots hallucinate. They make things up. They are dream machines, not fact machines. Deep research in this context involves autonomous agents. These are bits of software that can actually browse the live web. They go to sec.gov, they read the Financial Times, they check reputable sources.
And they cite their sources.
Yes, it returns structured data with citations. So it's not just generating text, it's building a research report.
Let's play this out with a real scenario, because the newsjacking feature sounds like a superpower. Let's say it's Tuesday morning. A massive crypto crash starts happening. Bitcoin drops 10% in an hour. Walk me through the old way a company handles this versus the auto content way.
Okay, old way. The marketing manager is in a meeting. They don't see the crash until 11 a.m. They panic. They call a meeting to decide what the company's take is. They spend 3 hours drafting a script. They try to find a videographer. By the time they shoot, edit, and upload a video, it's Thursday. The trend is over.
And everyone else has already controlled the narrative.
Exactly. Now, the auto content way, you have the API hooked up to a live data feed, say Twitter or Reddit APIs.
The cron job for intelligence.
Right. The system detects a spike in negative sentiment around Bitcoin. That's the trigger. It immediately spins up a deep research task. The agent goes out, reads the news, finds out why it's crashing. Maybe a new regulation was just announced.
So it gathers the facts automatically.
Then it generates a script explaining the situation. Then it sends that script to the video API to create a vertical short with, you know, a breaking news background. It posts it.
And how long does that take?
Minutes. You could have a high-quality, fact-checked video response up on TikTok before your social media manager has even finished their morning coffee.
That is wild. It's like high-frequency trading, but for content.
That's the perfect analogy. You are trading on attention arbitrage.
I want to pivot to SEO. Because programmatic SEO is a buzzword I hear a lot, but usually in a bad context, like spammy pages.
Thin content. That's the industry term. You know those pages like Best Plumber in Austin, Best Plumber in Dallas, Best Plumber in Houston?
And they are all the exact same page, just with the city name swapped out.
Google hates that. They are actively penalizing it. They call it scaled content abuse.
So how does Auto Content API solve the thin content problem without getting you banned by Google?
By using multimedia to create density. Let's say you're a travel site making 5,000 city pages. Instead of just swapping the text, the API generates a unique city guide podcast episode for each city and a unique top 5 things to do video for each city.
So suddenly that page isn't just a text template. It is a 500-word research-backed guide, a 10-minute audio track, and a 60-second video.
To Google's crawler, that looks like a high-value, media-rich resource. It signals quality. It's like, wow, they have video and audio for this specific query.
So you can dominate thousands of keywords simultaneously without triggering the spam filters. You're brute forcing quality through infrastructure.
In a way, yes, you are industrializing value.
Let's talk about the tech stack for a second, because API sounds scary to non-technical people. Do I need to be a coder to use this?
Not necessarily. The source material highlights no-code friendliness. It integrates with platforms like Make.com and Zapier.
I love Make.com. It's like digital duct tape.
So you can build workflows visually. For example, you can set up a Dropbox folder watcher.
Okay, how does that work?
You create a folder in Dropbox called To Process. You drag a PDF report into it. Make.com sees the new file, sends it to Auto Content API. The API does its thing, generates a podcast and a video dash, and then Make.com saves those new files back into a folder called Done.
So for the end user, the marketing manager, it's just dragging and dropping files. The magic happens in the background.
Exactly. And for the 43% of the web running on WordPress, there's a native plugin. It can inject the content directly into your posts.
I want to zoom out a bit. We've talked about today's problems, but the briefing mentions the agentic web. That sounds like sci-fi. What does that mean for content creators?
This is the future outlook section. We're moving toward an agentic web. In the past, you wanted a human to visit your website to book a flight. In the future, that human will just tell their AI, their agent, book me a flight to London.
So the human never visits my site. The robot does.
Exactly. The AI is the one visiting your site. And if your site is messy, unstructured, and hard for the robot to read, you lose the sale. You need to write for the machines.
And how does this API help with that?
Structured data. The Auto Content API outputs JSON clean structured code that is easily readable by other AIs like ChatGPT or Gemini. It future-proofs your content so that when the agents come looking for answers, your content is the one they can actually understand.
And there was a note about audio SEO as well.
Voice search. Siri, Alexa, ChatGPT, voice. As people start searching with their voices, search engines are starting to index audio content. If your blog post is only text, you're invisible to those searches. If you have an audio version generated for every post, you're now indexed in the audio landscape.
It seems like the common theme here is just maximizing surface area.
That's the perfect way to put it. You are increasing the surface area of your luck.
We're coming to the end here, and I want to try to synthesize this. We started with the baker who couldn't keep up with the supermarket.
Right. An Auto Content API is effectively giving that baker an industrial factory.
It feels like a fundamental shift in what marketing actually is.
It is. It's shifting the game from content creation to content logistics. The winners in this new era won't necessarily be the ones who write the best sentences manually. They will be the ones who build the best infrastructure to deliver value everywhere all at once.
It's a sobering thought for the artisans out there, but an exciting one for the builders.
It creates a new kind of creativity. You're designing the machine that makes the content rather than making the content itself.
Here is where I want to leave the listeners with a provocative thought. And this wasn't explicitly in the text, but it's been nagging at me throughout this whole conversation.
Go for it.
If the marginal cost of creating high-quality audio and video drops to near zero and the volume becomes infinite, what happens to trust?
That is the big question.
Right. If I see a slick video, I used to think, wow, they spent money on this. They must be legit. Now a scammer can make that for €4.
It suggests that the value is going to shift entirely to the source of the data. The presentation, the video, the audio, it becomes a commodity. It becomes wrapping paper. The premium will be on the brand, the reputation, and the original data source.
So the infrastructure helps you be seen, but your reputation is still what keeps you there.
Absolutely. The tools change, but the fundamentals of trust don't. In fact, trust becomes the only scarcity left.
I love that. Trust is the only scarcity. Okay, listeners, here is your homework. Look at your daily workflow. What are you doing that is manual labor? Copy-pasting, summarizing, reading a report just to write an email. Ask yourself, could this be an API call?
Once you start thinking that way, you can't stop.
Thanks for diving in with us. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you then.